Doctor Associates in the states of Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and now in far, far northern California. So today I'm here just to help amp you up heading into next year of 2018, and that's what we're going to go over today. We'll talk about the nuances to the market. We'll talk about the winter time that we're ready to head into, the winter market, and then some of the strategies to boost your business up for next year. So what we're So we're going to focus in on a success plan, a personal success plan, and that's each and every one of us. And we were taking a look at this because we do the traditional business planning, and we said, well, that's not quite making it. So we need to kind of look at this as a business boost plan as we head into next year. What are the personal activities that I'm going to do as an individual? You know, to enhance the amount of business I do, to really focus in on my value, because that's really in play right now, every presentation we go into and every buyer we talk to. And then how do I extend my own individual personal market presence? And there's some very cost-effective ways to extend your own individual personal market presence in your local market. It's the most highly effective, least expensive personal market present exposure opportunities that we've ever had. And I'm going to get into some of those in detail here in just a second. So let's take a look at the housing market. So the housing market is very predictable. It goes in, this is when listings come on the market on a monthly basis as compared to each other. And I put it onto a 100 scale, so the black line is the 100 scale. So certain months, listings come on lower, and they're below the average 100 scale, and some months they come up above the average scale. And if you really look at the yearly cycle that the real estate market goes through, and I know it's different for every one of your markets. Some of you are in resort markets. That's going to be a little bit different. But this is in general, and the concepts apply to all market. You just figure out what it is for your local market. But I'm going to talk in general about how the yearly cycle goes, because our activities get based upon this yearly cycle. And there are six phases that we go through. The first phase, and each phase is 2 months. January and February is New Year kickoff. Buyers come out of the woodwork after the first of the year, but then there's not enough new listings coming on the market yet. And you get your biggest price appreciation boost for median home price the first 4 months of the year, because the buyers come out of the woodwork. The listings don't show up in bigger numbers until March. So your biggest boost for the year, the price appreciation boost happens for median home price first 4 months, and it shows up in closings February through June. And then median prices go flat the second half of the year. And there's a reason for that. More listings come on the market starting in March, April, May, June, July, and there's now dispersed buyer energy. So the prices don't go up quite as much because there's more selections for the pool of buyers. So the prices always pop up the first 4 months of the year, and then it tends to flatten out. But it depends by price range and how robust the market is at that time. Right now we're in a very active market, so the appreciation, the more affordable and mid-price ranges are staying steady as we go all throughout the year because of the severe shortage. In the upper mid and high end, it will vary, and it'll flatten out towards summer, towards the end of the year, is what we see. The second phase of the cycle, we call that the spring market, and that would be March and April. That's when new listings come on. You can see they get up close to above the 100 on the scale. And then we have what I call after school, May and June. May is the new March. March used to always be the best month of the year, but because of such a severe shortage of homes for sale and new listings are selling so fast, households with families are delaying put their home on the market until a little bit later, towards May and June, because if they put it on in March, which they used to do in April, because it took a couple months to sell, their home would sell too fast, and then they'd have to move before school was out. So May is the new March, and for the last couple of years, May, in many market areas, has been the best. May and June have been the best months of the year for that. And then we have June and July. That's our summer market. I mean, July, August is our summer market. September, October is our fall market. But let's look at back at the summer market, July, August. A tremendous amount of listings come on the market. And I always hear agents say, well, the market slowed down in July and August. And I go, no, it's fantastic. You're just talking about degrees of hotness. Maybe there's a few less listings coming on, but the market is just as hot during the summer months of July and August. Then we get into the fall, September and October. Listings come down 30% compared to the peak months in the summer. Down 30%. And so this is the last chance for buyers to get a home, you know, to have the best selection and the availability is September and October before we hit into the winter months. Because in the winter months, the number of new listings goes down is 50 to 60% off what it is during the summer, spring and summer months. So there isn't the selection. We always see in the wintertime more sales activity than new listings over the wintertime. In the summer, we have more listings than sales. And this last couple years, it used to always start in November where we'd have more sales than listings. But now it just started in several markets in the more affordable and mid-price ranges where we're having equal or more sales already than new listings. And so that, of course, forces prices up. That sets the conditions for the spring for multiple offers, you know, that frenzy market coming back. And it's very predictable because we're going into wintertime. The backlog of buyers goes down less than the number of new listings go down over the winter. We hit into the first of the year. The buyer pool spikes up, but the new listings don't spike up in big numbers until March because they're coming out of the woodwork. And so we need to figure out what our activities are. You know, our winter activities, here's the four things we look at. Get your transactions closed that you wrote in September and October. Do activities in November, December to get business in November, December. Do activities in November, December to kickstart the first of your year because buyers come out of the woodwork and they have 70% have a home attached to them and they haven't listed it yet. So I want to be in conversation as they enter the market. And then after you've done your activities in November, December, take some time off. Yeah, you can smile now. Okay, take some time off. But that's how it is. We only have 2.5 months to the first of the year. It's go time. That's the expression. January 1st is New Year kickoff. The market is on. And yes, I got it. There's not enough listings on the market. But those buyers that we're meeting, wherever we can meet them, engage with, they're going to be buying and they're going to be selling if they have a home for sale. So the activities I do over the winter are really going to make sense. And we're going to go over those activities in here in just a minute. In looking at you know, the game plan that we're talking about here, there's three components that we look at is positive mindset. Are there still handouts at the back there? Okay. Okay, we look at positive mindset, skill mastery, and then personal engagement activities. We did some research. You're going to like this. We did some research, and 100% of our business comes from a recent personal engagement. Okay, I like being master of the obvious. 100% comes from a recent personal engagement. So I would ask our agents, I'd say, well, where did you get the referral from? You know, when's the last time did you talk to the referral source before they gave you the referral? And it was always, oh, I saw them last week, or I do CRM. They get something in CRM, or I see them every day. That's where all our referrals come from. And psychologically what this is when I meet somebody, I bring them present, currently present as to who I am in the moment. And they remember me, and they'll say my name. But if I'm not present with them in their mind, present right here, then I don't get their business or the referral business. So that's why we do CRM. That's why we do personal engagement activities to keep in communication with people. on a frequent basis because I just flat out get more referrals because I'm present with them. And now these are valuing items, you know, just based on who I am and they are in relationship or real estate information, those sorts of things. And we'll go through some of those coming up. So skill, I mean, positive mindset, skill mastery, and personal engagement activities are the components to a successful plan. So the other thing is, let me just check in on your experience here today. How many have been in the business over 5 years? Quite a few. Okay. How about 2 to 5 years? How about brand under 2 years? Okay. So great. So there's for those that have been in the business a while, I'm here today to affirm what you're doing. Okay. And to remind you on a few items. For our new brokers into the for the new agents into the industry, I'm here to inspire you and to give you a perspective of the industry. So this presentation is for all of us moving forward in what we're doing. So let me take a look at a couple other items here. The market heading into next year, I can already predict this is going to be another fabulous market in 2018. All the conditions are set, especially in the more affordable and mid-price ranges everywhere and close to the job centers all the way up the price points. Everything's set. We have job growth. The two key indicators to a strong market are positive, and that's job growth and interest rates. They're both very favorable. Now, job growth in several markets came off of extremely high job growth down to very strong job growth, which is better than strong job growth or no job growth or loss of jobs. So, we're talking degrees of hotness, and it's enough to create price support and demand for high intensity for new listings, the job growth that we have everywhere in the more affordable and mid-price ranges. And then close to the job center, it goes up the price points that we're seeing. So this is going to be a fabulous market coming up. You can put it in the books because I know where we are in the cycle. I know we're virtually sold out in the more affordable and mid-price ranges everywhere. And I know we're going into the winter time. And the number of listings goes way down. I know the buyers come out the first of the year. There's not enough listings. We're going to get another 10% price appreciation boost the first 4 months of the year in the more affordable and mid-price ranges. It depends on your inventory levels. In several of our markets we're in, it's 1%, 1 month supply. So I know they're going to have a 10% boost the first 4 months of the year. In other markets where you're at a 2.5 to 3, you'll be in upper single digit if you're in the more affordable and mid-price range. If you're at 5 months, you'll be at equilibrium. So it just depends on your month supply by price range. And we have so many different markets here, it's hard for me to speak to all of them. But that's what we see coming up. And it's very predictable when we do look at this. So over the wintertime, November, December, I got it that there's less sales activity because there's holidays. You know, we got 3 holiday weekends. It's the wintertime. We have the high-end homes don't usually put their homes on the market in big numbers over the wintertime. It really cleans up the high-end inventory over the winter, and they bring it back on in the spring starting in late February, March, April. So that the inventory gets cleaned up over the wintertime. And so we will see that, once again, setting the conditions for a very predictable market moving forward in 2019. And then we'll see where interest rates go in 2019 to see how the intensity is on the second half of, 2018. We'll see in 2018 to see it affects the market, but they're saying lower rates longer, even though they're still talking the mid-4, you know, up into the mid-4s. The highest I've seen is 4.5, you know, for next year in 2018. The market can absorb that. There's such a backlog of buyers. There's so many people in apartments just waiting for some supply, so maybe they're not in a multiple offer situation. So the inertia to the market will continue very strong in 2018 into the spring of 2019, and then we'll see some in later 2019, it will mellow out a little bit. And it depends upon the tax policies and those sorts of things. That's what we're our prediction and our outlook going forward is for that. So even though the sales are lower over the winter time, there's less sales activity, the intensity for new listings is extremely high. So let's take a look at what we're looking at here. So Pete Carroll, Coach Pete Carroll, was of USC, right? Remember that for those who know football. And now he's the coach of the Seahawks. So I saw an interview of Coach Pete Carroll, and they were asking him, well, what do you tell your players about what to focus on during the games? And he said, it's all about the football. You either got it or you got to go get it. Well, I kind of borrowed that for real estate. For me, it's all about the new listing. We either have them or we go sell them. All the energy in the marketplace is around the new listing. All the activities we do to get the appointment, to win in the appointment, to do the marketing, to do the negotiation, you know, the consultation, negotiation, the inspection. All those activities. I have a buyer to sell a home. Everything is around the new listing. And that's why you can tell the sales activity. It's all based on the new listing. In a normal, healthy market, 30% of homes will sell the first month, 30% will sell over the next 5 months, and 40% won't sell in 6 months. In this market, because we're in an elevated market, we're seeing 60, 70% sell the first month. Then it goes down to, let's say it's 60%, then 25% will sell over the next 5 months, and 15% won't sell. You know, that's kind of just a rule of thumb. But it's all about the new listing. You know, when's the best chance to sell a home? Which month? Right? It's the first month. Best chance to sell a home at the highest price is the first month. And that's why we focus in on the new listing and the energy around it. And so, therefore, the activities that we do on a daily basis is to find homeowners who want to sell their home. Now, I believe in positive affirmations, and this affirmation is, I find homeowners each day who want to sell their home. I know what I'm doing at the office, and with me just taking that on, I'm going to do the activities that day to find homeowners who want to sell their home. They either do or they don't. But I'm going to be out there in engagement. Every Monday, I'm going to have Strategy Monday, the first 15 minutes of the day. And I'm going to say, who am I going to talk to this week? You know, what relationship marketing am I going to do? What new open house am I going to be in? What business group or networking group, social? Where am I going to talk to people this week? Because I need to talk to people. And then it's the follow-up after that that secures them as them being one of your clients in your relationship database. So that's what we're looking. That's where the activities come in each week. And then we are looking at value. It's about personal representation. There's all the discounters out there in the world. You know, we believe in full service, playing full out for our clients, being a contribution to who they are, being the best that I can be in providing that service to them. I'm going to be a specialist in negotiation, in marketing, in communication, in everything I do, because I'm going to play the best I can be. Because I'm getting paid a world-class compensation for that. But it really comes down to personal representations. They have a choice of who they deal with. We did a study. So this study was in a particular market area. It happened to be an island, so it was easy to see. 30% of the sales on this island were from the four main offices on the island. Another 30% of sales were from eight offices just across the bridge, two bridges from the island. And then 40% of the sales were from 78 offices, each with one buyer each. So it was about 40 sales, and then 80 sales with those offices. So, and the top selling agent on the island had five buyers. So it really came down to, this is all about personal representation. I don't care what brand you're going up against who you're going up against or anything else. It just comes down to your individual service with that seller, and that's where our value comes in. It's not about the information. It's not about the national portals or anything else out there. It's just, who am I going to be in the matter of providing service to that individual? And that's where personal representation comes in. That's the key deciding factor between myself and a discounter, is I'm providing the service, the expert marketing, all those particular items that we're dealing with. All right, let's take a look. We're looking at where we get our business from. Be the first point of relationship. Relationships trump everything. Relations trump the national portals, discount, competition, advertising on TV, social media, everything. Relationship trumps everything out there. 72% of people only talk to one broker when listing their property. That's NAR research that they did. And we did our own company research, came out exactly the same. They just talk to one person because you're the go-to person. You're the person they know and trust. And you've stepped your game up so they know what type of services that you perform. You're keeping them in communication to the value of their home, market updates, instant notification of new listings in their market area, all those sorts of things. You're their person for the marketplace, and they're going to deal with you. So when we're taking a look at this, it's, you know, the opportunity is there for us to help more buyers and help more sellers. And then to bring in revenues to use in about, and individually bring in revenues to use in valuing ways. So when we keep in contact with the people we know, we get their business, but more importantly, we get their referral business. I figure every 15 people I engage with, I'm going to get a piece of business. The percentages are in my favor. They know another 15 people. People talk out loud. It's a social experience when buying and selling a home. They want somebody that they can trust, but it comes down to doing the activities to generate that that business. So the activities. You win if you do the activities. Hyper-local wins. The house is local. The neighborhood is local. You're local. People don't want to deal with the website. They want to deal with a local individual who knows the nuances of who they are and the marketplace. So the stage is set for us to win. But if we don't do the activities, we might as well, every commission check we get, just clip off 25 to 40% and hand it over to somebody else. Because the national portals, all they're doing, and this is, I'm not bashing national portals, I'm just putting it out there. This is for eyes wide open of what they're doing. All the national portals are doing is cutting in line in front of you. How do you feel about it when somebody cuts in line? Right? Doesn't feel good, does it? I want you to be with that for a second. Somebody just cut in line in front of you. You get ticked, don't you? Now, I'm from nicey, nice Seattle, and so we're not going to say too much, but I'm going to handle it. Okay? It's game on. Eyes wide open. They are cutting in line just by TV advertising and social media and SEO and everything between you and a person entering the industry. In the past, that person would enter the industry, talk to their friends, and get referred to you. Now, they're getting interrupted, and they're being attracted towards the person who's in front of them at that moment, which could be a national portal. We're going to stand on our own two feet. And part of the reason why I'm here today is it takes all of us to do the activities and recapture our business. We don't want our business to be like the hotel industry, that Expedia rules. Just by advertising, they're out in front of the hotels. Now, the hotels are trying to do some about it. The airlines, they were doing it to the airlines, but the airlines stood back up on their own two feet. They got that back out in front with their loyalty programs and with their websites and their service level is so much better than it was before, using technology to provide that. Well, that's what our industry needs to do today. We need to step back up, easy-to-do activities, technology-enhanced to help us to help make more of these things automatic for us so that we can accomplish them. That's what the our challenge is today. So, when we're hyper-local and we're doing the activities, we are in front of our competitors, discount brokers, national portals, everybody out there, because relationship rules in what we're doing there. Here's the engagement activities. So when we're looking at these activities, across the board, as a company, 75% of our business plus, and for some individual agents it's higher, of our business is repeat and referral business from the people we already know. We call it sphere of influence. That's just the people we know. But now we're even going to try to simplify it a little bit. It's your relationship database. Your relationship database. That is your sphere of influence. It's not just buyers or sellers in the current market. It's everybody you know. And then prioritize them. Categorize them. You know, who's in luxury? Because you're going to do luxury CRM for them. Who's in different groups? Who's the people that give you more referrals? You spend more time with them. But it's information, valuable information that you would send to them. CRM is just the sending the same thing to each and every person in your database. And there may be a few variations, because maybe you have a football group and you'd send them the schedule or do a magnet calendar for them. They'd love that, right? Anything to keep engaged with them. So that's one of the foundation items. I saw national research that your business will go up 25% if you have a relationship database and do CRM. That's a pretty good boost, isn't it? It just speaks information as to how important the relationship is. Because out of sight, out of mind. I don't want to just be in their memory banks. I want to be present with them. And that's what CRM does. It keeps them present and keeps the foundation set, so when I do speak to them, it's not awkward. I'm speaking to them because they already know me and they've seen me throughout the year. The next one is individual engagement. So when you categorize your relationship database, you're going to have key individuals that you want to know, where am I going to see them this year? What value can I bring to them? Am I going to do that home valuation update every year? Am I going to send them, they get my CRM, but then do I send them monthly market updates? Do I sign them up to get email notification every time a new listing hits their neighborhood or hits their general community in their particular price range that might be of interest to them? I get that every day for my own home. I see very few listings on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday it starts to go up, and Friday I call New Listing Friday because that's when all the new listings come out right before the weekend. I love looking at them. Curiosity. Inquiry minds want to know. They want to see. Why do you think everybody goes to Zillow? They want to know the value of their home. It doesn't matter if it's right or not. They're a media company. They figured this out. Psychologically, people want to know what their home is worth by looking at their neighbors' homes to see what they're worth. They want to get updates on price changes. They want to get updates when a home is sold. What did it sell for? And these are records that are available. So that's individual to them. They want your mobile app. If you have an individual mobile app, you want to get it on their phone, so they can see all homes for sale no matter wherever they're driving. Make it simple for them. And it's agent branded to you. You know, that's another one of those tools. So, okay, the next category is personal online lead generation. Yes, there's the national portals. And I've talked to some of our agents. Some spend a lot of money and they make money. Some spend some money and they break even on it. You know, they do a transaction or two and it pays for it. Well, they're basically giving 100% of that transaction over to the national portal because they made just as much money as they advertise. Others advertise and they make less money. Okay, so it depends on how you're handling those inquiries. The new standard, it used to be you had to handle them within 5 minutes, but that was 15 years ago. Now it's within 30 seconds. You need to respond back because they're still in the moment. That's the key to it. It skyrockets you picking them up as a buyer and or seller if you do it within 30 seconds. It used to be 5 minutes, and that was easier to do. But now it's at the second that we need to get back to and why they're in the moment. That's the new data that's coming out. MIT did the first study, and I forget who did this last study. It's 30 seconds now for that. But let's talk about personal online lead generation, what you can do locally at a very cost-effective manner. I call it Facebook ad everything. Facebook ad everything. It's so inexpensive and such high exposure, especially since you can narrow it down to your local market area. Let's say you get a new listing. I want to put it out there. Every new listing you take, you put up on a Facebook ad. Yes, it's going to cost you $30 or $50. I got it. You do it for the seller. This is a great business we're in. Whatever I do for the seller, I'm also doing for myself. It's a win-win scenario. I do it for the seller to get exposure for the property. I do it for myself to get additional personal market presence in my local market. I get a new listing, and that gives me relevancy of who I am in the marketplace, because my photo and name is attached to that. And then they click on it for a lead capture form, and they can click it off if they don't want to answer it. And then they can look at the property. So we're picking leads up on every new listing we get. Exposure for the seller, I get more business. Win-win situation. So take a look at that. How much do you want to spend on each new listing? And you can boost. You can do a Facebook ad on your first open house weekend. And then after that, it could flip over into just advertising that there is a new listing in the market area for the rest of the week. We call it open house, new listing combo, Facebook approach for that. Because the open house is a call for action to bring people to you in person. The other is for lead capture that then I respond back to immediately for that. Another Facebook item. You have your you can do it for home search for your local market area. And maybe San Diego is too big. So give me a name of a community in San Diego. Anybody? What? La Mesa. Okay, CL Homes for sale in La Mesa. All listings, all companies. They click on it. You know, it's attached to you. They click on it. You can have a lead capture form, and then they can go search. I don't know if you want to generate more business or not, so be careful if you do this, okay? Because you will only generate more business. What do you think the national portals are doing? This is all they're doing, is they're cutting in line in front of everybody that, you know, all those people that don't have a relationship, they're getting at the front of the line. This is you going in front of them because hyperlocal beats national portal. Are you understanding that? Hyperlocal beats national portal. But you got to take it on. You know, this is your personal marketing, you know, that we're talking about. Maybe you have an individual agent app, broker branded to you. I'd put that up there. See all homes for sale in whatever community you're in. And then they can click on your mobile app. We have one agent that did 9 pieces of business. He spent $30 a month for 2 years. He has 5,000 downloads of his mobile app, and he got 9 pieces of business over those 2 years. And he asked the people, "How did you pick me? How did you find me?" And they said, "Well, you were the little guy on the mobile app, because he's broker branded on the mobile app." That's a pretty good return, isn't it? This is standing on our own 2 feet. You know, the national portals, don't let them be all of your business. Just let them be an incremental piece if you choose to advertise on them. Let's take control of our business and just flat out do more business, meet more people in the meantime. You can also video. So I went to a technology conference, the Inman conference, and what I came out of that was 5 things. It's now mobile, everything mobile, everything video, everything instant response, everything hyper-local. And I know there's one more thing I'm forgetting in there, but I'll remember in a second. But this is one of those items. Everything video. Do a personal video for your local market area, for a community within it, within a neighborhood. You will just capture that marketplace because nobody else is doing it. There's a first mover advantage to doing a personal video. They're short, they're pumped up, and you're being the goodwill ambassador of that area. for that, and people just attract to you because you're the person that they see. That's all the national portals are doing. They're just putting themselves out there and getting people to attract to them, but you beat them by being personal and for your community. The next item, for new listings. Yeah, we put out, hold every resale listing open the first weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. So we have certain market areas where, 90% of the homes will sell in the first month in the more affordable mid-price ranges. And you might ask, why do I have to hold it open? It's going to sell. Well, we have this phrase. Oops, excuse me. We have this phrase, which one is better? One and done, or one and then many more? So which is better, right? One and then many more. That's what's better. So this is what I'm talking about here in this context. We hold open every resale listing both Saturday and Sunday. This is marketing over just advertising. Advertising is the MLS, the sign, and the internet. That's just advertising. What we do is marketing to elevate the psychology of the backlog of buyers from high intent up to a buzz. The number one item for them is finding the right home for themselves as an individual or a family. So that's why we hold open every single resale listing the first weekend. I already talked about Facebook ad, just listed postcard, invite the neighbors. I want to meet the neighbor because I know the next new listing is going to come up in that neighborhood within 25 homes. There's going to be a listing come up in the next 3 months. I want to meet the neighbors. 80% of them don't have a selected broker. I want to be that broker. I'm going to invite them to the open house on Saturday to kick this off. Okay? We have a hyperlocal neighborhood market. That's just a set up a geographical farm. Okay, we're going to move on here because I'm running out of time. Big business boost items for next year. I've got about 7 minutes. So the big business boost items. Yeah, it's doing the personal engagement activities, have a relationship engagement hour each workday. If you don't set it aside, you won't do your relationship database. You won't send people into home, setting them up for a home search. Or your mobile app, or send a card, or give a call, or figure out who you're going to talk to. Set up an hour, you'll have a 25% increase in business. If you just had 1 hour a day, or if it's a half an hour, fine. But that's a discipline to take a look at for business development activities in relationship base. We have the personal online lead generation, marketing and transaction coordinators. If it's available to you, use it. Free yourselves up. Hire somebody that knows what they're doing to free yourself up so you can do the business development activities and get freedom of being and let's go. We know where when brokers hire a coordinator or a personal assistant, they can double their business because they've got somebody taking care of the database, setting up, telling them, here's some people to contact today. That's where the business comes from, is personal engagement. So, and if it's right for you to hire a personal assistant, I recommend it. That's a big boost in the amount of business when you're ready for that. But use a marketing transaction coordinator before that. And yes, I know it costs $200 each side, for a list and sell side. Got it. Compared to what your commission is, this is so cost effective. Let's go, right? In what we're doing. A team, getting a team together, maybe hiring a buyer broker and then see where you're going from there, but get a personal assistant first and then take a look at if you're a lead generation machine from all your activities and maybe you sign up with the national portals, then hire a buyer broker to handle some of those buyer leads in what you're doing there. A personal business activity coach. Outside coaches, I know they can help take your business up 50 to 100%. Because they're going to keep you focused in on the activities. So they're not going to tell you anything different than I'm telling you. They're just going to hold you accountable by asking you what you did, what your commitment is, and what you're going to do the next week on a weekly basis. It's the frequency of focus of the vital few items that will vault you forward in the amount of business that you do. So it's just getting down to the accountability. Or do it yourself. Get a calendar out and just mark down what activities I'm going to do this week and check them off. Have a review on Friday. Did I do the activities? Every weekend I'm going to be in a new listing. Every resale listing hold open the first weekend. There's 10 times more buyers the first weekend. The backlog of buyers is waiting for the new listing. Otherwise, they would have already purchased. I want to meet buyers because they have homes attached to them that haven't listed yet. I'm doing it for the seller, but I'm doing it for me. It would take me 10 weeks over 2 price reductions to amass as many buyers as I have day one for that house. I got one chance to get, best chance to get this house sold. It's the first month for the seller. I'm going to go all out. I got 3 weeks of a seller advantage in price negotiation because there's backlog of buyers that the other buyers are worried about. After that, I burned through them all, and it's one buyer at a time. Right? It's about launching, you know, getting this property out there and moving forward on it. Okay, for new agents, we have some new agents here in the industry. Practice your listing presentation 3 times. The biggest item to produce success in this business is getting your listing presentation down. First time, you're going to be shaky. Second time, 10 times better. Third time, you're going to walk in confidence. You'll be ahead of 70% of the agents in the industry if you just practice your presentation 3 times. You don't have to worry about how long you've been in the business because you'll be able to talk about marketing versus just being tilted by the seller to what's my price and what's your commission. Let's get the value in and be able to get it across to the seller. The same with 3 purchase agreements. Get it done, you'll be ahead of 70%, and you can compete with any experienced broker in the agent in the industry if you get this practice down. You will increase your chance from 20% chance, 25% chance of being successful in this business up towards 60 to 70%. But if you don't do it, good luck. Okay, that's what we found out in our research. We have, let me take a look here. Okay, positive mindset. There's 4 books we read. I've got 2 minutes. Go Giver. This is, everybody in our company reads these books. Go Giver. That's just about being your service level, contribution service. Speaking the Language of Miracles. This is a book my wife wrote, Deanna Scott. Deanna, what are you? Okay, Deanna wrote this book. I 3 years before I met Deanna, she helped her son beat cancer. And it was this positive mindset, walking in the positive outcome of being healthy and within your faith, being a healthy child of God. I have positive white blood cells in my body. He survived cancer. He would let the miracle happen. And when I talked to Deanna 3 years after this, I said, I love what you're talking about here. I always believe in positive affirmations, but you've really brought this forward. Can I use some of your concepts in business? And we've been using this. I asked her, can I use it? She gracefully said yes. And so I've been using this in business for 8 years. Everything is just, you know, there's severe situations of health. You know, so it's a major situation, but it is a situation. It is not who I am. I'm a powerful spirit. I'm going to walk in the positive outcome. The situation just helps create distinction to give me some motivation, internal motivation of this is who I am and this is what I'm going to do. And then the solutions are the activities. Well, that applies to our business. I'm going to find homeowners who want to sell their home because the situation is there's not enough listings out there. And then here's the activities I'm going to do for everything we do in life. And this in family, in health, in business, in sports. And so she wrote this book. Go to speakingthelanguageofmiracles.com. You're going to love it. And it's part of the foundation of who we are as a company. So I just want to share that with you. For a big part of our success in our language and what we're doing. The other two books are Becoming a Category of One, best marketing book I read in the last 2 decades of separating yourself from the competition and from commodity pricing. And the last book is The Compound Effect. Do small, smart steps each day will lead to exponential growth. So have that engagement hour each workday, and that will help set your foundation. What am I going to do today? Who am I going to keep in communication with? And your business is going to skyrocket from there. So that's we're right on time. How's that? We started on time. We ended on time. I hope you enjoyed today. And just trying to put out there, let's go game on, you guys. All right? Thanks for being here. Thank you.